So that's just key to all of this. So you don't have, you can't earn that. And you can't be below that. You can't be below that. Okay? And that's taught on the teaching, you're lovable. All right, now, this is the person the Bible says lover of self. The world has labeled it narcissist. Okay, they believe that they're superior to others, high-minded, independent. They have little regard for other people's feelings. Now, remember, this can be to different levels of degree, all right? And because we're not comparing ourselves to others, that doesn't really matter, does it? And because we're not judging everybody else and labeling everybody else, it doesn't really matter either. But I want you to see that you could have a little bit of this that could cause the enemy to still continue to keep you puffed up and high-minded and have no authority over other people who would come into your life who have this. All right. Now listen, behind the mask of ultra confidence, there is fragile self-esteem and someone who cannot handle criticism. We talked about scornful in this teaching. Scornful is someone who's been set up by criticism to be so defensive that if someone even tries to correct you, hate rises up in you. And I encourage you to get that teaching because I didn't realize I still had some of that in me till somebody was coming at me with scornful. And I really, for just a few minutes, really hated them. And I thought, Lord, I haven't hated anybody in a long, long time. I know I don't hate this person. What is going on? And then the Holy Spirit took me to that scripture. I said, get all of scornful out. Now, scornful is part of this spirit because scornful is a superior feeling and an attitude that you just know everything. Now, listen, when you take on high-minded and you take on this stuff, it's really because you were hurt, you were put down, you were criticized, you were put to shame, you were beaten, you were humiliated. Something happened to you, or your parents constantly puffed you up and puffed you up and puffed you up and tried to make you like the center of the world. And in that place, you bought into that identity. Now, if you were beat down and beat down, you decided, I'm not going to live like that. I'll show them and I'll show God. And so the high-minded thing is anything that comes against God, anything that comes against what he says. All right. Now, here are some of the symptoms that they say in here. And I'm just going to read these. Believing that you're better than others, what does the Bible say? Esteem others more highly than yourself. If you can't really do that, you need to get free. And don't pretend you can when you can't, okay? That was helpful for me. I said, okay, God, I know. Because I told God, I said, okay, God, I really have a hard time. This is before he set me free from some of this. And I really knew, and I wouldn't say this to anybody, but in my thinking, somebody would say something, I think, who do they think they are? Or, you know, what do they think they're doing? If you have a critical spirit, you're probably someone who has some of these issues. And I'm not just, like I'm saying, this word, lover of self, and this more of clinical word, narcissist. What is it? Narcissist. This word, that's like an extreme, okay? So I'm not even pretending. Most people here are able to love others and give and share. So I'm not even pretending to try to put that on anybody or anything. There are a few in this room, though, that I know personally. You really live here, and God really wants to set you free, and we want to help you get free. The rest of us want to undo every single thing of this so Satan can never put that on us, but also so that we can help others get free from it because there won't be any of it in our hearts. All right, now here's one. Fantasizing, you can hear we've done tapes on all of this stuff, but fantasizing about power, success, and attractiveness. Exaggerating your achievements or talents. Expecting constant praise and admiration, or always fishing for a compliment. Always trying to get someone's approval. Always trying to get someone to say you're okay. It just shows a hurt place in you that God's love has got to come and touch, that his saying you're okay. Believing that you're special. Failing to recognize other people's emotions and feelings. Expecting others to go along with your ideas and your plans. Taking advantage of others. Expressing disdain for those you feel are inferior. Folks, even thinking someone's inferior. Being jealous of others. Believing that everyone's jealous of you. Trouble keeping healthy relationships. Setting unrealistic goals. Being easily hurt and rejected. having fragile self-esteem, appearing as tough-minded or unemotional. All right. These people will project things and blame on other people, and a lot of manipulation that's going on. Now, we've dealt with a lot of this stuff, which is kind of cool when you see God's plundering the house. You know, the whole thing about deliverance is Jesus himself says that you cannot go into a strong man's house. You bind the strong man. That's the spirit of evil, wicked spirit. You bind it, and then you plunder his house. That's what we're doing. We're taking things out one by one by one. And some of you have noticed some of the things I just listed. Wow, we got rid of that. We dealt with that. We saw that. Some of you are like, just take the whole house down. Well, maybe the power of God will be here tonight to do that. Maybe you really believe for that. I'm not going to limit what God can and can't do and how fast he can do it. But I encourage you, there's a lot of tapes and inner healing kits to really make sure that the house is being plundered. All right, look at this next one. Is there any questions about lover of self? Let me just give some of the words when you look some of this stuff up. I don't really want to get into this word, but I guess I'm going to. When you look up narcissists, this word erotic comes up a lot. And erotic is a spirit that's assigned to arouse sexual desire. And that's going to really be, now everybody's looking down, boy. Don't do an altar call now. Don't do an altar call now. Whoa. We live in a society that is just about as perverted as they can be. You cannot even begin to flip through the cable channels, or even the regular television, day or night. You can't even turn on a song. That spirit of trying to arouse sexual desire is not thrown out at our kids, thrown out. See, the enemy's trying to make this a Sodom and Gomorrah kind of society, so we have to be judged. Sometimes you were molested, and that brings that spirit. Sometimes it's an iniquity. Iniquity is curses from family generational curses that come into you with you not even opening the door. When you have sometimes, you'll find really small children who are masturbating and things, and they honestly were never touched. They honestly were never molested or anything. But there's spirits that are molesting them just through family curses. We'll get some teaching on these things. You know, the Bible talks about, and I can get, if you get our marriage tapes, are really powerful about some of this. But truthfully, the Bible talks about don't awaken love before it's time. It's in the book of Solomon's. And then the only thing you really talk about God's kind of passion when it comes to relationship, sexual relationship, is when Paul is talking and he says, okay, if you get passion for your virgin, then marry her. If there's passion and you, in other words, saying if you can't control this desire to be with that person intimately, marry them. Now you can study Paul. He has a few hang-ups here and there. So, but what that is God really designed us in a way for the Holy Spirit to bring us into correct relationships, being equally yoked, and then the Holy Spirit to stir in us a passion to really give each other to that, to give ourselves to that one person only. And so Paul was saying, listen, when that kind of relationship happens with you and the person you're really dating, you're both Christians, you're living for God, but it's just not enough living for God, then be married. Now look at the perversion in America, because the counterfeit of that is this, this erotic spirit, this spirit that tries from what somebody sees on TV, seeing a Playboy, seeing a Playgirl. Now you don't have to, I mean, now it's everywhere. To stir up, it basically, I believe, releases a demon to cause you to be stirred to sexual sin instead of this awesome gift that God has given for a husband and a wife. Now there's not a person in this place who wouldn't know that this is really big in America and in the church and in our kids. And it's ruining marriages. It's ruining lives. It's keeping people in shame. And I really believe there's a power of God to set us free from this. There's a power of God to get us free from anything of perversion. I don't want the desires that God has put inside of me that should be for my husband to be stirred up by anything on television, to be stirred up by something, you know, in a magazine, to be stirred up by music. I tell you, this is an awesome gift that the Holy Spirit, and that's why we have so many marriages where people feel dirty and used and uncleanness is in there. And that's why there's so much divorce. There's so lack of respect for who we are, for our bodies. I mean, it's just a big, gigantic mess in this area. God gives us this most awesome gift. The enemy has just come in, and truly, I believe he's destroying a nation and a generation with it. First, we have to get completely free so that we can begin belief for our children to get free. And we, way, way back when I first started doing Inner Healing Deliverance conferences, we did one, and we asked everybody who's ever watched a soap opera to stand up and repent. If you read romance novels, I don't care if they say Christian on them. If they stir up something in you about a sexual desire, you need to get that thing out of you. Maybe it was in you first, and that's just stirring it. But some of the stuff I've been reading, folks, it's just like glorified, fantasizing stuff with Christian supposed characters. Don't you want to get free? Don't you want to get whole? Don't you want to not have hidden sin exposed? You know what? Let's say you get all the way to standing before Christ on that day, and you haven't dealt with it. Is that where you want it exposed? I want it under the blood. I want the freedom from it. God's already paid to deliver us from it. We don't need these things. You know, and I'm just going to, I didn't really want to have a like sex talk tonight or anything, but I want you to know something. It does not have to be perverted. It should not be perverted in a Christian home, in a Christian bedroom. The marriage bed is to be undefiled. And everybody brings their mess into that. And they hurt each other and degrade each other and try to call it the freedom. I'm not talking like some Frigidaire experience because everybody's so hurt and wounded. I'm talking about something that you know that God could come and say, this is how I created you. This is what I give to you. This is the gift I give to each of you. This is what produces children, which is a gift from God. This is because you want to be so close, and it's not about you. You know, true intimacy is not about you getting a need met. That's this other thing. That's this perversion. True intimacy is about seeing someone that you love so much that God puts a passion in you that you just want to be with that person. You want to be with that person. This, what's it called? Erotic, nasty demon. He doesn't want you to want to be with a person. He wants you to want to be with a body for you to get sexual gratification, which leaves you feeling empty. I think what we have to do is just allow God to show us where this thing came in. Because from the point it comes in, there is sexual activity at least going on in your thinking. For some people, you saw something you shouldn't have seen as a young child. For some people, what's those names of those spirits? I mean, it's not in the Bible, but people name them these things. Incubus and, yeah, those guys, incubus and succubus and whatever abyss they are, they need to go back to the abyss. But sometimes those really come through family lines. And so there's actual perversion going on with demonic spirits, even on young children. And people don't even, there are people, I believe, today that are being accused of molesting children who never molested their children. But these demons are molesting children. And then automatically, because nobody believes in demons, somebody blames it on someone. And then I'm sure there's also people crossing the line with their own perversion. This stuff is really bad in America, folks. The child pornography thing is unbelievable in America. And see, once you cross, when you take on these demons, and then they determine what's going to give you sexual gratification. See, you're letting a demon determine your sexual gratification. And that's all sex is. It's all about gratification. It's not about unconditional love pouring out of you into the one that God has given you to share your life with. God wants to meet all of our needs for love so we don't have to go after lust. I really believe, like with any demon, when you recognize it, you see where it came in, you hate it, and you close the door to it in the name of Jesus, whoa, it's got to go. And then you ask God to absolutely cover your mind and your body with the blood of Christ and bring cleansing and wholeness and purity and innocence to you. We had one lady who came to a meeting who had lived, she'd been molested when she was younger, and she had lived in, she had been in a lot of different relationships that became unclean relationships. But do you know, and this is for you young people, close your ears, but most people don't understand this stuff anymore, but when she married, when God put her in a relationship and she married later, he restored her virginity. In the Bible, it was so important that the woman be a virgin that the marriage bed, the sheets of the marriage bed or whatever they use, the cloth, they had to actually show to the family that hymen had broken. You know what's amazing? When God created us, he's so awesome. Everything he does is to glorify him. Do you realize that the hymen is that veil? And that when love penetrates that veil, blood is shed. That's how special it is to God the first time someone has sexual relationships with the one that they're supposed to be with. Isn't that amazing that God would actually make the woman's body and the man's body in such a way to represent the veil being rent by Christ? Is that awesome? See, I'm telling you what, we ought to be teaching our children sexual education Bible style so that it'll be as important and as special and as awesome as it's supposed to be. And I believe all of us can still go back and have God restore that innocence. Whether you've been molested, whether you just went after wrong relationships, whether you've been married 10 times, whatever, it's time to say, God, I want nothing else of the devil's garbage. I want it over with. I want it out of me. I want purity. I want holiness. I don't want this folly. I don't want this folly of this self-love that then goes into self-sex. Self-sex is perverted. Oh, well, there's different doctors in Christian ministry who don't agree with you. Well, find it in the Bible. Bible says it's a sin for semen to go on the ground. That's God's way of saying, you know what? Okay. Don't look all funny and shameful and quiet or over happy like, I got to make sure nobody thinks this could possibly be me. This is a big one. The devil loves this one because he knows that this awesome intimacy that God made for a husband and wife is to represent the bride in Christ. It's to represent worship to God and entering to the Holy of Holies and being one with God in the presence of God, saturating every part of our being. And we are to have the most awesome relationships. We are to have relationship. All of our relationships should be awesome. But this is a holy thing in the eyes of God. This is a holy, holy thing in the eyes of God. Now, some of you, when you took on this lover of self, whether it's because you were mad at God and you didn't think you did a good job, whether you thought other people hated you, whether it was covering up self-hate, whatever it was, if what came into that was also self-sex, then that's going to have a spirit that I believe is... And why do you call them these names? They're all unclean. The Bible says they're unclean, evil... wicked. Can you think of any others? That's really the name. Foul spirit. That's what the Bible calls them. When I call it a name, I'm telling you the characteristic of it. So you can recognize that one, that unclean spirit, that foul spirit, that wicked spirit, and let that spirit know, I got your number and you're coming out in the name of Jesus.